Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, you'll hear from the authors that make Supply Chain Management Review such a special publication. This podcast is hosted by Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Bob welcomes your comments now to today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Talking Supply Chain, why packaging is the next frontier for e-commerce optimization. I'm Bob Troublecock, and joining me today is Alice Marie Geoffrion. Alice Marie is the Vice President of Packaging Solutions for DHL Supply Chain North America. Alice Marie, welcome.
Hi, Bob. Thanks so much for the introduction. I'm super excited to have the opportunity to speak with you today about my favorite subject, packaging.
Well, we're excited to have you as well, and packaging is near and dear to my heart. My family has been in the industrial packaging business for more than 60 years. People who read my columns in Modern Materials Handling and Supply Chain Management Review are probably tired of hearing this story. But when I was a kid, I spent my summers visiting factories in the Midwest on sales trips with my dad. So I got to see, you know, lots of packaging in action. But as I think Alice Marie will tell us, while warehousing and transportation operations are reaping the benefits of digitalization and automation, supply chain packaging operations have been slower to leverage those benefits and keep up with the times. That may be changing. And like much of what's happening in the supply chain today, it's being driven by e-commerce. Organizations that have made significant investments to retool their warehouse operations to support e-commerce fulfillment are now turning their attention to packaging. It really might be the next frontier for e-commerce optimization and fulfillment. And that's what we're going to talk to Alice Marie about today. So let's look at five trends, Alice Marie, that you've identified that are going to impact packaging. We can start with postponement and customization. So what are they as it relates to packaging, and why are you watching these two areas?
Thanks, Bob. So when it comes to postponement and customization, so what we're seeing is that it is becoming harder and harder for not just the brick and mortar companies, but also the online retailers to really be competitive. So that one size fits all approach to packaging is just no longer viable. So as such, retailers online and brick and mortar are actually demanding very differentiated products, which leads to late stage customization and postponement requests from most CPG customers out there. So we, for instance, find that our customers want all different sizes, different configurations of that same primary product to really help drive the sales across their retail distribution networks. Again, whether they're taking orders online or in store. And there's just the best way for them to differentiate themselves is by creating these new packaging configurations. So I find that with our customers, the packaging solutions that are the ones that really enable that late stage customization give companies really that ability to create a finished good just before it's about to ship to the customer. So it's not really just a nice to have anymore. Thus, customers need that flexibility. One other thing when you talk about postponement and late stage customization is really around social media. So what we're seeing is that social media is enabling more and more of those voices to be heard out in the marketplace. And as such, we know our customers and our companies, they're looking at ways to quickly respond to those customers real time. So whether it is them talking about a product, talking about a packaging, whatever that might be, customers are making demands, and they did not make these demands in the past because they didn't have the medium to be able to do so. And now that they do, really postponement and late stage customization capabilities really allow for these demands that these customers are talking about on social media to be able to be addressed very quickly. So having those capabilities as an organization is extremely important. And so we believe that late stage customization and postponement are absolutely essential now to all packaging operations because it does provide that flexibility to be able to answer needs and get products to end customers that are unique and differentiated.
Great. Thank you. If I can, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. This is a question we haven't discussed, so buyer beware. But it goes to the actual packaging process. I don't know if you're experiencing this at DHL or rather you've, you know, talked with customers who might've been trying to do it on their own. But we did our next gen supply chain conference last week. And one of the presenters was MSC Industrial. They're like a WW Grainger, you know, sells repair parts and things like that. And they've put a whole lot of effort into their packaging line, including bringing in piece picking robotics as part of the process, because packaging, rather than the actual order picking, was their bottleneck. And what had changed was the way people ordered, where he said, you know, in the past, people would start placing their orders at like 7:30 in the morning, and they would get orders all through the day. And now a maintenance manager will open up his queue at 7:30 in the morning and populate it during the day and then send it in at 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, or 4 in the afternoon. And they still have their order cutoff time for UPS or FedEx or the post office. So filling the orders, they were really efficient, but packing the orders was their bottleneck. And, you know, and that's an e-fulfillment thing. So are you seeing that in terms of, you know, one of the changes and one of the impacts on packaging that's leading to digitalization, I can never say that word, and automation?
I mean, absolutely. I think one of the things that we've seen across a lot of our packaging operations is that because you need to get e-com orders out same day, turnaround times are just much different than they were in the past. Robotics and automation have played an even greater role in the entire process. So we have seen recently more use of, you know, cartoners, case erectors, shrink lines, auto labelers, collaborative robotics, anything you kind of can think of to really help expedite that process. And again, it's also tied not just to being a bottleneck, but it's tied to the fact that we are also seeing issues in the market around labor shortages. So when you don't have the labor, you can't actually package the product. So the automation and the robotics is something that, you know, we and our customers are turning to more and more to not only remove any bottleneck, but also there is such a labor shortage that this is really helping solve that problem as well.
Great. So I'm going to move back to the trends that you'd identified. We started with postponement and customization. A second trend was scaling with speed. So what do you mean by that, and what's happening there?
Sure. So actually recently, one of the biggest issues we're all faced with is COVID. So DHL's customers just experienced how important it is to be able to scale operations quickly to meet changing demands. So, you know, we needed to have the right technology infrastructure in place to have that ability to be able to quickly handle all the new and unexpected volumes that we saw across our customers from COVID in particular, because many of our customers were providing those essential items out to the end consumer. And without the ability to scale and to scale quickly, we would not have been able to meet the needs of our customers. So in addition to that, to having packaging operations fully integrated into the DC operations is extremely essential to ensuring that changes, demand fluctuations can be addressed very, very quickly and need to make sure that that growth can be supported. So again, super important to be able to be scale operations, to meet changing demand, but to be able to do it quickly. And I think the companies out there that were able to act quickly and scale quickly during COVID are the ones that are going to come out ahead as we get through this as well. And then being able to correctly manage the inventory was also really key to ensuring scalability and speed to market can be executed. So in other words, you have to know everything about your inventory, what you can and can't produce, when you can produce it. And you have to make sure that you've counted that inventory everywhere, right? Because you have some in the DCs, you have some in WIP on the lines, you have some that are coming into the DC or coming into patching operations, open POs, et cetera. It's quite a few different places, you really need to ensure that you have an automated way to manage that inventory so that you can handle the demand changes and the fluctuations very, very quickly.
You may have touched on this a little bit when you were talking about customization, but in e-commerce, the brand experience has become so important, right? It's not just getting the product, but how the customer perceives it and receives it. So what role is packaging playing when it comes to enhancing the brand experience?
So e-commerce, has really kind of changed the game. So as it increased, maintaining the great brand experience has become even more important for our customers. So the packaging of the product really affects the customer satisfaction. Just think about when you receive something. You know, if it's just kind of thrown in a box and it's moved around, the primary packaging is not really cool. It kind of takes away from the experience, right? Because you're not in the store, you're not seeing a display, you're not seeing everything around it. It's just something right in front of you. So it's extremely important that that primary packaging and actually the shipping and all of the packaging is coordinated so that that buying experience is very, I would say, fulfilling to the end customer, and they're excited about receiving that product. In addition, I know customers are becoming even more and more concerned with the environment. So it's making it more and more important for particularly CPG companies to really focus their efforts on ensuring that that packaging is environmentally friendly. So the last thing that you want as an end consumer is to receive a gigantic box for a very, very small product that's not fragile, that's wrapped with tons of fillers, right? Because by the time you get to that, you don't have a great experience. You think about how much waste has occurred in this entire process, not just from an actual material standpoint, but from a shipping standpoint, transportation standpoint, et cetera. And so you really, really want to make sure that that end customer's experience is great, not just about, when they actually receive that product and they're opening it, but the whole shipping process to get it to them. So this really means that, using recycled products now is more and more important in the packaging, designing ship-ready primary packages that can actually bypass that entire tertiary packaging process to really save on materials is going to make that end user feel better and really protect the brand and minimizing the fillers and so forth. So as an end user, because you're not in the store, because you're not experiencing all the POS materials around a product, you really need to have that experience at home. So focusing on having really cool, sleek, environmentally friendly primary packages, extremely important for companies today. But then don't end there. Take it the next level and really understand that you need to make sure that that shipping process is also extremely efficient and minimizes materials so that when that customer is opening the package at home, they don't feel like they just wasted a whole lot of materials just to get their end product.
Today was Friday's our trash day at my house, and we're ordering a lot more online than we did pre-COVID. So I'm reminded of that every Friday when I'm putting the Amazon boxes out for pickup. This is related to the brand experience. One of the not always talked about aspects of e-commerce is returns, particularly in fashion and things like that. And I have talked to e-tailers and retailers who talked about not just the volume going outbound that they've had to deal with, but the volume coming back. So, that's part of the brand experience too, right? If I have to send it back, how easy is it to repack it? Are you seeing companies now put this focus on the sort of total life cycle of the order when it comes to packaging so that if something is going to come back, for instance, making the packaging reusable to get back to wherever it started from?
Absolutely. So the reverse logistics part of the process is getting more and more attention, especially because of the increase in online orders recently. And yes, that is absolutely part of the process, making sure that if you do receive something and you don't like it for a various number of reasons, that it's very easy for you to return. So the information is included inside the package with all of the processes, the shipping labels, et cetera. And a matter of you can reuse that same tertiary package that arrived at your home to be able to ship it back. So they're making sure that the quality is good enough to be able to handle a return in those instances as well. And, it's interesting speaking of trash day, we have the same thing in my neighborhood. And you're just kind of walking around. You know, sometimes I see all kinds of boxes that I think, gosh, those could be reused at least 2, 3, 4 more times. And if everybody kind of thought that way, maybe we could eliminate some of the materials out in the market, just because, you know, there are shippers that can be reused multiple times. And I think, you know, in the reverse logistics process, we're certainly focused on that. But we need to even think a step beyond that as, you know, as an individual, what can you do to make sure that you're not just sending that out to be recycled, but potentially getting 2, 3, 4 more uses into that shipping container you receive before you send it out to recycle. So it's something we can all think about just even individually as well.
If you walked into my basement, you would see the boxes that my wife is hoarding in order to send things to our daughter and to her sister and so on. So we are actually trying to live that one here. You know, another big change that's happened with this ramp up in e-commerce is costs that we might have ignored or lived with because the volumes weren't great in comparison to our total business now matter, right? I saw a figure the other day of what percentage retail sales were for e-commerce. I don't remember it, but I know it was a significant jump from pre-COVID. So now all of a sudden, your packaging costs and your last mile delivery costs matter. And in some respects, it's kind of the case where packaging costs can impact my last mile delivery costs. So what role can packaging play in managing my overall fulfillment costs in e-commerce?
Well, I'd say first off, no matter what trends we see across packaging, one constant has really always been, let's keep everything as cost efficient as possible, right? So this means that, you know, we're always looking to focus on driving efficiencies, not just around the packaging itself, but the whole packaging operations as a whole. So really, when you look, how can you ensure that you're minimizing costs even before kind of that whole process begins of fulfilling an e-com order? So a lot of times we see more and more customers actually deploying more and more NDC packaging solutions to really save on transportation costs by eliminating the need for a product to be shipped to like a third party, to be converted and packaged and then shipped back to the DC to then be fulfilled for an e-com order or even a regular order. So they're trying to eliminate all of the time that comes into this. So before, I would say, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, didn't see a lot of e-com orders being fulfilled out of some of our big DCs. Now, just about every one of our DCs that is for a consumer-based type product has e-com processes built into the operations because so many orders now are coming through e-com, and it makes more sense to just directly ship those orders from the DC instead of trying to ship to other third parties to get them out. So we're seeing that because that certainly benefits, you know, the e-com process. And also some of our research has shown that about 24% of all volume of e-com packaging, for instance, was empty space. And because of this, it really led us to develop our carton optimization tool, which we combine with on-demand packaging equipment to really ensure that product is packaged to the right size at the right time. So we're minimizing as much waste from an inventory storage, a scrap perspective, but also really making sure that when you as an end user get that box at the end open, it's right size. It doesn't have excess empty space, excess fillers. It's been packaged, protect your product to get to you as efficiently and as cost effective as possible. So really, no matter, you know, I think what trend occurs, cost is always going to be really important and top of mind when it comes to packaging. And specifically, of course, with the e-com packaging and the surge in e-com orders, it's become more and more important.
I'm going to come up to our last question. But before that, you used an acronym. I thought I heard you say NDC, what is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant NDC, so in the distribution center.
Oh.
Being able to fulfillment processes of e-commerce within the DC directly as opposed to sending it to a third party to fulfill those e-com orders.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed a new acronym. As you know, we're dealing with them all the time. So great.
Yes, sorry.
So, the end of your last answer is actually a great segue to this last question, because you just talked a little bit about cartonization, which was something I wanted to ask you about. And then also, you know, packaging on demand, which brings us to, you know, all the talk in the supply chain today are these next generation technologies, regardless of what process you're talking about. So talk a little bit about the technological advancements you're seeing in packaging, including automated solutions and this idea of cartonization. You know, what is it and how does it benefit us?
Yeah, so I mean, what we're seeing a lot more of is, you know, how to just be more efficient when it comes to packaging. So if you look at things from an overall perspective, we're looking at how to be more effective from using less materials, making sure everything's right size, et cetera. So, you know, when you look at the optimization process, really a lot of the new tools out there allow you to basically go in, look at your product, put that package in the right actual size. And what we've done at DHL is we've developed a proprietary algorithm that really looks at everything about the package, right? It in the product, it looks at the size of it. It looks at the fragility of it. It looks at where it needs to go. And then it determines, you know, here is that right carton that you need to use in order to get that package out there. So it's really optimizing that whole part of the process. And then when you combine that with a lot of these packaging on-demand solutions, where basically you're building the package to the product in line with the process, that allows you to really make sure that it's as efficient as possible. And the more that these products are out there in the market and these technologies are evolved, I think the more we're going to see across many different fulfillment centers and organizations, because the technology has changed quite rapidly. And I think a few years ago, you'd probably hear a little bit about packaging on-demand solutions, but now it's becoming something that's really becoming more and more embedded into e-com operations, because it's so much easier to just send the product through the line, have it packaged right size, and get it out the door, as opposed to having to have an inventory of packages, having to manually choose which package you think is going to work and so forth. So there's been so many advances from a digital standpoint that I think we're just going to continue to see those as well. And when you combine them, that's where you really see the power and the benefit of what these solutions can do to the market.
Let me ask you one real quick question. When you were describing the cartonization solution that you had developed, last week at our conference, one of your colleagues, Adrian Kumar, gave a presentation about robotics, right? And DHL has been really out front in the adoption of robotics. In a 30-minute presentation, maybe 5 or 10 minutes was about the robots, the mechanical side. And the next 20 minutes was about the software side, including, something that DHL had developed to optimize the robot fleet. And so what Adrian was describing is the WMS would send the orders that need to be filled to what he described as a microservice, a software program that did this optimization. Then it would send it back to the WMS that would then execute based on, you know, the analysis that this microservices component had done. When you're thinking of the cartonization, and he talked about something like, a 20% improvement over what would have been the normal output from the WMS or the robotic software. When you were talking about the cartonization that you're doing, is it a similar sort of thing, a microservices or a software as a service that's going to take your orders, figure out the cartonization, and then send it back to an execution system, whether it's a WMS or something else, to execute?
Yes, actually, it is Adrian and his team who developed the carton optimization tool. So they did. And it is part of that same process and same team. And that's really about making sure that it is a fully integrated process into the WMS. So yes, absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you, Alice Marie. That's all the time we have today. And again, I want to thank Alice Marie Geoffrion for joining me today. And thank you for listening. I hope you'll be back for our next episode. for Supply Chain Management Review. I'm Bob Troublecock. Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, on iTunes, or under SC247, or just Google SC247 podcasts. For more information, be sure to visit scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.